We're going to be in 2 Corinthians this morning. If you would go there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look through a little bit this morning. The God of all comfort. What a joy it is to know we have a God of all comfort with us. Notice, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 3, we'll jump down there. He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to," what? "Comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now, as we see here, we're going to continue in a minute, but the wonderful, wonderful news and fact of God is a comforter, isn't he? And I think about some challenges that people are going through today, and you folks have probably gone through some challenges even in the past week. Obviously, there's a challenge every day in our lives, isn't there? And especially, you think about some maybe surface challenges that we may have from time to time, and then there's some deeper challenges. As we just mentioned, a family hurting from the loss of a child, and oh, we think about those things. As we come back to here, though, the Word of God, we find that God is here to comfort us. Now the challenge comes, why would God allow us to go through certain things if He truly cares and loves for us and wants the best for us? Well, I love one, not the only answer, but one of the answers here is given. And that is that we would be able then to what? Comfort those. Why? Because we've been comforted ourselves. And I've said it before, but maybe you folks have had somebody come and maybe put their arm around you or come up to you and say, or shoot you a text or email and say, "Hey, Brother Tim, I know exactly what you're going through." In the back of your mind, you're going, they don't know what I'm going through. They've never been through this problem or this issue or this loss. And it's a little comforting, but not very comforting. But on the other hand, have you ever had somebody do the same and you know they've been through what you've been through? And you go, "Man, I needed that. Thank you. You got through it. I know I can get through it. I know God's able." Now, this letter written to the church at Corinth, you folks know, but it is a letter written, and the first letter Paul wrote, it was more of a, if we say, rebuking letter. It's a correcting letter. There was a lot of sin within the church, a lot of problems going on within the church, to say the least. And Paul corrected them. Now, the second letter is more a letter of comfort or encouragement or exhortation, however you want to say it. And this is something we need to understand. As we come through, Paul clarifies in this first chapter that we can be comforted by the God of all comfort. Now, this church needed encouragement. There was much dissension and division within this church, along with, on top of that, the false doctrine and immorality and sinful behavior that was going on within this church. As you read 1 Corinthians, I'm sure you folks have, but I'd encourage you to read it again because it is very helpful. A lot of doctrinal correction. As we see here, Paul writes a second letter of encouragement. Paul saw the potential and heart of the people in this church. He desired to cultivate their heart for God. I think about us as well. May we not quickly give up on those people that may not meet our expectations. You have people like that. They don't meet our expectations. We expected something from them or some type of maturity or some type of growth, maybe spiritually speaking, and they didn't meet that. A challenge in marriage is that of not meeting expectations. We come back to this, that we are the servants of Christ. We follow Him. "What thy will may be, Lord, I want to follow." Now, looking at this, again, first of all, sorry to belabor this point, but again, we look and come back to the comfort found in the comforter. Notice again, verse 3. "And the God of all comfort." You might want to underline that in your Bible. The God of all comfort. Comfort. A-L-L. Comfort. All comfort. And that's what we look to. People today in the world look for some comfort. You take a drink. You take a pill. You do something. There's so much immorality, I should say, in our world today. What is it doing? It's a temporary comfort. It's a temporary band-aid we put on some problem. And again, the emotions that God's given to us, He's given to us. We ought to take the emotions and always filter them through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Anger, frustration, all of those things. And we think about now the comforter. People try to bring comfort or look for comfort or get comfort from temporary things. We come back to here. He's the God of all comfort. Now, we understand and know in John 15 and 16 that as Jesus is speaking, He brings out this and He says, "Men, apostles, I've got to go away." And they were saddened by that because they didn't understand the Scriptures at the time. And He says, "But I will leave the what? The Comforter." Capital C, Comforter. That word there, that term, you know, is the Paraclete. And it is, literal meaning is, to come alongside of, right? To come alongside of. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, just as we use the term today, the prefix, para, P-A-R-A, paramedic, parachute. What does it do? They come and help you. You jump out of, I saw this guy, I don't know what, it was on something, YouTube or something. He jumped out of a balloon. I don't know how high up he was. He was above the clouds, and he jumped out of the plane without a parachute. And the guy, the guy before him jumped out of the plane with a parachute, and he waited like 5 seconds, and then he jumped out without a parachute. So he caught up to the guy with the parachute. They grabbed each other, or whatever they do, and then the guy, you know, popped the, and they got the GoPro camera. That guy's nuts. No way would I ever do that. I don't know, maybe some of you do. Brother Adam and maybe Brother Sam, I don't know, you guys, you're not afraid of heights, but man, that is crazy. I could not do that. I thought about the parachute. I need that next to me. And you think, shoot, I'm glad the parachute came alongside. I'm glad the paramedic came alongside and helped. The comforter, the paraclete, He comes alongside and helps us. And what is He doing? He's comforting us. The uncomfortable necessitates a comforter. The uncomfortable situations in life that are coming, they're already there, we're uncomfortable. It necessitates a comforter. And aren't you thankful that our God does that? When things come and he says, you're going to go through trial and trouble, remember? Paul reiterates this, and Peter says it, and James says it. You're going to go through things, but we're not left high and dry and hanging. Yeah, you're going to go through problems, but, well, go at it. There's nothing we can do. What's he say? He always puts with it a promise and always puts with those trials and tribulations a promise to come and help us and comfort us and go forward. As we said last week, the Word of God does not promise us a quick answer to every problem we have. When we pray a prayer, it's not a quick response. Okay, I'll take away all those financial problems. Okay, I'll take away the cancer immediately. No, what is the promise? The peace of God, which passeth understanding, comforts your hearts and minds and all of that, strengthens you. It's the peace of God. It's that peace that knowing that God's in control, that God is there to help, that God is here alongside of us. Jesus said, I've spoken these things that ye be not offended. They will hate you. Why? Because they hated me. I've spoken these things that you would be aware of them, that you would know, that you would be comforted, right? There's a common failure on our part as children of God to run to other comforters in times of discomfort. Paul's reminding the people that we have all that we need in God. We have all the comfort in Him. He's all the comfort we need. We should not run to other things in times of comfort. Very easy to do. Very easy to do. In times of insecurity, times of nervousness, in times of fear, in times of other things, sometimes if we're not careful, we go to other things to comfort us, right? To ease that pressure, to ease that frustration or pain, whatever it is, we must be careful. We come back to the Lord. We come back to Him. You know that. He says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, Matthew 28, 20. He says in Hebrews 13, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So what is your source of comfort today? What is your source of comfort? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Church of God. We need all three. You need to be spending daily time in the Word of God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but again, we need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to spend time in asking for the Holy Spirit to indwell us and empower us and fill us. And we need to be in the Church of God. How important that is. we're obeying the Word of God. So again, how do we utilize, first of all, the Comforter, the work of the Comforter? Well, one, we must yield ourselves to Him. We must be yielded prior to the discomfort. We must be yielded. This is something easy to say, hard to do, for me especially. We must be yielded prior to the discomfort that's coming, right? We know tomorrow's coming. We know even this afternoon's coming. We know problems are coming. Issues are going to happen. Bad things are going to come. We must be yielded prior to that. We don't come to the problem that hits us dead on and we go, oh, what do I do now? No, we are prior yielded. And when the thing comes, we go, well, we should expect this. Children and wife and others that are around you, we should expect this. We know this is coming. We don't want it, but we know it's going to happen. Problems are going to come. And we don't throw our hands up in frustration. What do? We say, God, help me. I know you're here with me. I know you're here to comfort me. Are you yielded today prior to the discomfort? We must, secondly, be obedient to the impulses and the moving of the Spirit. We must be yielded and obedient to the Lord during this time. Now, notice Paul says in verse 4, who comforteth us, notice, in all our tribulation. Now, again, that word basically means problems, just problems. This church was facing many problems, wasn't it? They had a lot of issues. They had a lot of problems. Now, in this church, you recall, as we've read it before, gone through it, but there was a handful of people in the church, and I should say handful, there was more than a handful. There were spiritual people. They were trying to live right. They were serving God. They were not sinful, but there was a mass over here, the majority, that were sinful. And again, truth always resides with the minority. It's sad to say it, but it truly is. You think about it. Truth is always with a handful. And as Elijah came and said, Lord, I'm the only one left, God said, well, no, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So you're not the only one, Elijah. And so you think about, we see here there's a church that there was a small group that were actually spiritual. They were living for Him, but they still had problems. And the unspiritual people had problems. And people think, well, I'll give my life to Christ and I'll serve Him full time and I'll yield my heart to Him and I won't, have any more problems. That's not true. In fact, when you give your life to Christ and serve Him full time and are faithful to Him and faithful to the Word of God and faithful to serving and faithful to prayer and faithful to sharing your faith with other people, although it's uncomfortable, what happens? More problems come. More issues happen. More difficulty comes. And what happens? We get to experience here the Comforter. The Comforter. So we see here the obedience, the yielding, the seeking of the direction. Let me say here, next, the confirmation of tribulation. It's coming. Comfort is not the cessation of trouble, but the strength through the trouble. It's not the cessation or the stopping of trouble, the ceasing of trouble, but what? It's the strength through the trouble. And I like that. So there's a confirmation of tribulation. James says, listen, there's coming fiery trials. And what does he say? Something that, just blows the mind of some people. But he says what? Rejoice in those things. Rejoice in that problem. Rejoice in those things. Why? So you can have the patience and the experience and all those things that we need as children of God. We must face these tribulations. Am I in the will of God? Is this trouble for my redirection? Is this trouble for my good and for His glory? Is this for a reason? Again, I know saying this, but I've said it before, but when we're faced with a trial or tribulation, we must say two things. Is this for my good? Is God trying to redirect me, trying to reposition me? Or what? Is something He's trying to do in my life to help and benefit other people? People see that again, and they go, boy, I see they're going through a trial. I know I can. Am I where I'm supposed to be? Is God using that to redirect me? Reposition the comfort, the confirmation. Now, we see here just a few things as we continue. We don't comfort others by our diagnosis, but by the experience of our own tribulation. Isn't that interesting? Our own diagnosis. Well, see, what you need to do is, see what needs to go on, like old Barney Fife, tried to tell everyone. The problem is, he had no idea. But see, the issue is, No. What do? By our own experience, our own problems. Would you go over to 2 Thessalonians with me here real quick? 2 Thessalonians, because Paul makes mention of this again. It's interesting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. Notice that. Go down to the end of the chapter. Verse 16, he says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God," notice, "even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Notice, "comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and or every good word and work." He's working here in this church. As you know, the church at Thessalonica was a church that was idol worshipers. They worshiped idols. He said, "Praise God that you came out from serving those dead idols." And he comes back and says, "Now, I know you're dealing with a lot of issues. This church at Thessalonica was, again, a church that was facing many trials, there's a lot of persecution going on in this church. But he says, your faith has gone abroad. Your faith, we don't have to go and tell everyone about you. They already know. You are so faithful. Your testimony has gone out and gone abroad." But again, he makes mention of, again, the comfort of our Savior. So we see here that we do not do it by our own diagnosis, but by the experience of our own tribulations. Now, if you would go back to 2 Corinthians, and we'll begin here to bring her home. Notice the sufferings within the will of God, 2 Corinthians 1, are consoled by Christ because we suffer for Christ. Verse number 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." So our sufferings within the will of God, as we follow the will of God and walk with God and serve Him, there's sufferings, there's problems, there's difficulties within the will of God. They're consoled by Christ because we suffer for Christ. When we suffer and identify with Christ, He comforts us. He takes care of us, doesn't He? We come to Him and say, "Lord, you know I'm going..." He says, "I know. Lord, I tried to be a witness for you. I know, you know. Lord, I'm just trying to serve and lead my family by the word of God and do what's right." And the Lord says, "I know. Here's the comfort. Here's the comforter." We know that. The book of Philippians, the book of Galatians, many books Paul will later write deals with the same issue. Whether afflicted or comforted, it is for others. Notice verse number 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Notice that. Paul says when we're discomforted and we're going through trials, it's for you. It's for you that you notice and see that. Now, Paul will later say, "Listen, we're not coming to you just all talk. We're coming and you've seen that we've gone through the problems and trials and difficulties. You've seen how we've been imprisoned and beaten and whipped and gone through all of those things." The great testimony, the great example. I heard a story of a great saint of the past, and she was born blind, and she couldn't see, obviously, from her birth, and she went through it, and she had such the joy of the Lord, and she had such a good spirit about her, and people came to her and would ask her often, "Are you mad or angry at God that He would allow you to be born blind?" She said, "No, not at all. In fact, I praise God for it." And they said, "Wow, you're incredible. You praise God for that disability." She says, "Absolutely." She said, "I've reached more people because of my blindness than if I was born being able to see," to the effect of, "I've reached more people because of my disability, because I can show them that I'm comforted in my discomfort." And that ought to be us today, you know that. We ought to be praising God for those things, for what He's given to us, but also maybe for the things that are uncomfortable. Can God entrust you? Can God entrust me with the conflict and tribulation for the purpose of reaching others? That's a hard statement, isn't it? Can God entrust me with a trial and tribulation, with a discomfort, in order to reach other people, in order to reach people around me, in order to reach folks, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents and children, whoever? Can He entrust me with that? Am I that spiritual that He can entrust me? Oh, I don't know, my friend. I don't know. The consolation is best provided to others. We be afflicted, he says. We be comforted. Proof that to others, that God will comfort. Notice that. We ought to be showing the proof that God will comfort. God will provide. verse number 8, let me move ahead here. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. As you recall in the book of Acts, they were in such turmoil and pain and trial that they were wondering, oh, even despaired even of life. Notice that. Are we supposed to live, Lord? Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks be given by many on our behalf. Now, some of that's a little confusing, but he's talking, as you recall, he says, listen, because of what we went through, it was for your benefit, and you prayed for us, and it helped your spiritual growth. Think about this. Everyone's going through something. Don't waste the trial on ourselves. Don't waste the difficulty on ourselves. Everyone's going through something. Now, today we sit here and praise God for this office space we have. Praise God for these padded chairs, and we have air conditioning and a heater if it gets too cold, and we have all of that. Lord willing, you have some food in your stomach, but maybe not some donuts. Sorry about that. And we're not concerned today about some of these things, like what are we going to have for lunch? Some of us are, but you're not concerned about some of those needs of life. And you think about it. Everyone's going through something. People are going through much worse than we are today, and we know that. People are going through there's people in a waiting room right now at a hospital. There's people in a trying to plan a funeral this week. There's people that are waiting for a diagnosis from the doctor on Monday morning of what they have and all of those things. So we must understand and come back to putting in perspective, where are you at today? Are you waiting for the comfort of God? Are you comforting others? You've gone through, some of you folks have gone through things that I've never gone through. Some of you folks in here have gone through situations and difficulties that maybe I'll never go through. I don't know. And you have to take those and use those and say, God, you gave that to us for a reason. Is there somebody around us? Is there someone in our lives that we could take and use and comfort them in the same manner? Lord, use us as your vessel. God has to work in us before he can work through us. I like that. God has to work in us before he can work through us, doesn't he? Somebody that God uses without a lot of experience, sometimes people don't listen to, they don't take heed to, but somebody that has a lot of experience, somebody that God has worked through or worked in, he can work through. Now, a couple more things and we'll wrap it up here. Thinking about the deliverance of Christ, as he makes mention of. Deliverance of Christ. God has delivered us, praise God, from our life of sin. He's delivered us to be saved, and I pray that you're saved today. If you're not today, make today the day. It'll be the greatest decision. It'll be the greatest day of your life. To serve God, to give your life to him, to accept him as your personal Savior. But he says he's delivered us and will deliver us. If God delivered you, as he says in Romans, if God gave his only Son, why would he withhold anything else from us? Romans 8, right? And you think about it, God gave his only begotten Son, die on the cross for you, for me, for anyone that will accept him. Why will he not comfort us in the days ahead? Why will he not help us through the difficulties and the challenges and the trials that are going to come our way? He will. But that old wicked adversary and our old carnality in the midst of those trials is going to say what? God doesn't care. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about my situation. God could care less. No, he does care, and he's comforting us. Let me hasten here. Deliverance. Deliverance in the life of God's people. We know that in this life we may not be delivered. We may be even, in a lot of cases, I don't know what's coming, but we may be murdered and martyred for our faith. We may be taken off this earth. Maybe not martyred or anything by a persecutor, but we may pass before our time, tragically. I don't know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But if we're not delivered in this life, we have a great deliverance awaiting us, don't we, in the heaven above. We're waiting for him, looking for that blessed hope. We're looking for him. Deliverance. God, Paul purposed to visit them on three different occasions, but wasn't able to. And in the church rose accusations within the church of Paul being deceitful about his intentions. Now, Lord willing, we'll look a little bit more at this next time, but he said, I wanted to come to you, but the Holy Spirit and the Lord told me no, and he redirected me. And now because of that, they began to accuse Paul. Paul, you don't care about us. Paul, you don't care about our problems and our issues. And Paul says, listen, I've just been in prison. I've just been beaten. I've just been whipped. I care about you. I care about what you're going through. My friends, today, people may not always notice what you're going through. People don't know what you went through. Your own spouse doesn't know what you went through last week, right? We deal with our own inner problems. All of us do. Your own children, they don't know what you go through, do they? They don't know some of these things. It's between you and the Lord. People may not always know about all of your issues. May not always know about all of the difficulties and trials and discomfort that you're going through. But God knows. And let God be God in your life and let Him work in you so that then He can work through you to help other people. Isn't that a wonderful God we serve? We know that. Paul says, listen, you don't know what I've gone through just to get to you, church, just to be there to help you. And they didn't acknowledge that. And people don't always appreciate all that we do for other people and all that we do for God. And again, every time we look for that pat on the back, you know what's coming. It's a punch in the gut, isn't it? Oh, I hope they recognize all that I did for God this week. No, nobody cares, do they? Sadly, no one cares. And we keep going. But again, God will bring that back. Again, God doesn't allow you to go through something just for nothing. He's allowing you to go through something, and you've gone through whatever you've gone through in the past for a reason may not come yet. It's coming in the future. And say, God, what do you want to use that trial that we went through for? Show me that. Because I know there's someone out there going through the similar thing that I could be a comfort to. Now, let me close out with this here. Paul made it clear that he desired for them to experience some of the discomfort so that they could be able, in turn, to comfort other people. He says God brought us here. God put us here. God gave us all that we have. And we see that. Now, let me close out here and read again. Verse number 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Again, that word there, all, he desires that. God is in control of everything, we know. He's a sovereign God. He's in control of every aspect of our lives. He controls our heartbeat and our minds and our hearts and what we yield ourselves to, as he makes mention of in Romans. We're servants of that. We yield ourselves to carnality, we're servants, we yield ourselves to God, He's willing to work with us and empower us and help us. And as we live through life, we're yielding ourselves to Him. But He says, as you go through each step, I'm here to comfort. Yeah, but God, why do you allow this? I'm fearful that of what's coming in the future. I don't know what the next step is. None of us do we? We plan our days out, and you're planning your day tomorrow for work and for schooling and other things, but we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's coming. People last week had no idea what was going to come, right? Or what something happened in their lives or other things. And so what we do is we walk by faith and we walk with the confidence and the confirmation that comfort is available. Constant, 24/7, 365, and even 366 sometimes. It's always there, isn't it? Comfort. Comfort. I'm so thankful today, and I'll close with this, that we have a God of comfort, don't you? I like being comfortable. I really do. You folks do too. I like that. Yesterday I was outside and my wife was outside. My kids were outside with us and the wind would not stop. And I think Brother Adam mentioned it. I don't know the purpose of the wind. And Jesus said, but the wind bloweth where it listeth. And He didn't really give us a reason why. But you think about it. And it's just uncomfortable. And I use that real shallow illustration, but it's uncomfortable. There's things that we're going through. Uncomfortable. They're irritating. The things that really get to me, and I know you too as well, the daily irritations, right? Why does everything, this Murphy's Law, whatever it is, you know, everything just seems to go towards, as you know, disorder. And some of those things can really frustrate us and cause us to lose our testimony and other things. We've got to be careful about that. But no, God's there to comfort us. God, I don't know why, but thank you. And Lord, use this so that I could help other people in some capacity. I don't know what it is, but use this for your glory, for your honor. Amen? All right. We have a God of all comfort. What a joy. What a blessing to know that. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for the time today. Again, we can gather around the Word of God. These people here that are faithful and listening. God, you're going to bless their lives just for being here, because we're being obedient to your word by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that you'd use the message today in my heart, first of all, and in the hearts of those here. Help us this week to stay in the word of God, to stay in our prayer closet, to keep faithful and focused on you, and to know, Lord, that what comes into our lives, we trust you with that. And not only that you want to give us experience and patience and hope, but Lord, also you want to give us that so we can go and comfort other people. So many people, billions of people hurting today, wounded. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us as your people to be what we're supposed to be for your honor and glory. Again, thank you for the great example Paul gave us here, Lord. And we love and thank you, Lord. Guide us now today in Jesus' precious name. And amen.